This is my wife, Melissa, and my son, Devin, sitting over here on the third row back. Our daughter's in the nursery, Lydia, if you haven't met her. If you haven't stopped by our table yet, we've got it over here. Come by and see it after the service. We'd love to share a little bit more details with you. We shared a good bit of the spiritual details of the city in the video, so I won't cover all of that again, but over 19,000, almost 20,000 people in a city of 34,000 that proclaim no religious affiliation whatsoever. Now, I'm not sure if that means complete atheism or if it's just that they're not close enough to any religion to claim it. Regardless, most of that group, if not all, would be lost most likely. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ in the city of Butte. They're desperate for it. And God's called us to that city to plant an independent Baptist church, to remain there as pastor, and then following the Great Commission, just praying that others will be sent out of the church to plant churches, whether it be in Montana or around the world. Because God said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So our goal is to just simply follow the Great Commission with that church, to plant that one church to help that city. 34,000 people is almost exactly the population of the city of Salisbury. Salisbury is all spread out, whereas you pretty much saw the whole city of Butte in some of those video shots. This all contained in that one valley. So everyone's kind of stuck there together. There does tend to be a good bit of traffic, just like it might be down here on Ennis Street. But there's a lot of people. Irish Catholicism is one of the primary things in that area. And they'll listen to you, but they're very close to really paying attention to what you're saying about the gospel. So just pray with us, because it's not going to be an easy place to minister. But God's got us there, and He'll provide the need. And with your prayer support, we'll be able to just move mountains there. And we're just praying for that. We're praying that God would send someone to go alongside of us, whoever that may be, whatever capacity that may be. Because I believe from the Scriptures, it's scriptural that they go out two by two. Now, with deputation, I think every missionary kind of wants to get that over with quickly. Get to the field. I want to get to the field just as quick as any of them. But deputations, more than just raising financial support, getting prayer support, I consider it a ministry all of its own. Because it's an opportunity for me to share my heart and my burden for missions, to teach churches about missions. I'm thankful that this church seems to be pretty mission-minded from everything I can gather this week. And I'm thankful for that. Thankful for all the missionaries that I see on the walls over on these rooms. And, you know, it looks like you're doing a good work. And I just pray that that continues. And I think you have missionaries that are sent out of this church as well. And that's wonderful. Again, I want to share a little bit more about missions specifically. If you want to hear a little bit more about Butte and the city, come over to the table afterwards. I'll give you one interesting piece of information now. The city of Butte is a mining city. It is primarily copper. Over half of the world's copper come out of the city of Butte, Montana. Butte, Montana was the first city with electricity in the United States because of that. They've also mined silver, zinc, several other things. We've got some other rocks and stuff on the table that tell you what all's come out of those hills. But this one mountain that they're doing all of this mining in is almost exactly 10,000 miles of mine shaft under the ground that they've blasted out. The mountain is almost solid granite. There's a city sitting on top of it, homes sitting on top of 10,000 mines of tunnels. Just doesn't sound too smart, but it's solid granite. I've been down in one of the mines, and, you know, it looks solid. They've had earthquakes that have did very minimal damage to the shafts. And it's, most of them are filled in with water today. There are only 150 people mining in the city today. So it is slowing down, and they're trying to kind of rebuild the city. Mining does a lot of damage to the ground, a lot of arsenic and lead that are on the ground there, and they're trying to do a lot of cleanup. Population in 1917 was about 100,000 people. Due to the mining, people come from all over the world. And today it's down to 34,000, up a couple thousand from a few years ago when it hit its lowest point. So again, they're trying to build back the city. And so much for one little example, but I just like to talk about it. So again, there's a church of about every type you can think of out there. Only, I would say, two independent Baptist churches that probably believe along the lines that we do here. And one specifically that I know for sure. And they're Small Works. One of them just getting off the ground. The whole building is about half of the size of this sanctuary. It was an old house converted to a church. But even with the four that I have listed on my sign over there, 8,500 people is what they'd have to minister to each in order to meet the population needs of the city. So just pray that we can get out there, get a church started, and that God would just open the doors for us in the city. Turn with me to 1 John. I'm going to take a few minutes and share a little from God's Word this evening. As Christians, it's nothing surprising to say that, you know, it's not the easiest life to live. Our Christian walk can be a struggle at times. You know, Satan's after us constantly. He's wanting to tear us down. He's wanting to tear our families apart. We see this nation as a prime example of what Satan's wanting to do to our families. But it can be difficult. However, though, as we walk with the Lord, as we serve Him, we get a joy that only a Christian can sense, is that true joy that is serving in Christ. And excuse me, it's beyond anything the secular world can provide. You might get that temporary joy, but that's what it is. It's temporary. It's nothing lasting. And as Christians, the very reason we can call ourselves by that name, Christian, is because of Christ. He died on the cross for our sin, for your sin, that we can spend eternity in heaven with Him. The sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross is incredible. He died for me. He died for you. He didn't ask anything in return for it. It is a free gift of salvation. However, in His last days, we know that He died on the cross at Calvary. The third day later, He arose again from the dead. But one of the next things He said was in Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Short of the greatest commandment, loving your neighbor as yourself, loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and loving your neighbors as yourself. I believe this great commission verse, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what was on God's heart when He came back, when Jesus came back from the dead. Before He ascended into heaven, that was the command to us. I'm in debt to Him, not for my salvation, but because of my salvation. I'm in debt to the Lord Jesus Christ. All He wants me to do is tell the people I come in contact with about Him. And our family, He's called to the city of Butte to start a new church, to share the gospel with a lost city. Your role may simply be going out soul winning here in your neighborhood, coming to church, sharing your testimony of salvation, maybe helping someone that needs encouragement. But we're commanded to go into all the world. And I'm going to share how we're to do that here briefly tonight. Because you owe a debt as well as I. And what is that debt? How do we pay it? This evening I'm going to show you a few things to that effect. Number one, I want to look at our privilege in Christ. In the book of 1 John, I was challenged a while back to read it. I believe about 30 times is what I read it. And the amount that I got out of the little book of 1 John is incredible. But one of the things that I looked at first was, what is the purpose of John's writing? You know, when we're studying a book, we need to look at the purpose of John's writing. Or any book's writing. Why is he writing it to us? We look at John, who's probably a little over 100 years old here when he wrote the book. He's been with Christ. He's experienced everything about Him on this earth. And he said, look at the sensory here. He said that in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. see, sow it. Just like if we pick up an apple or an orange, we examine it for any imperfections. John's saying, you know, I didn't find any. I've looked Christ over. I know what He's about. John writes unto us in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So our privilege, number one, is to promote fellowship. John is wanting to promote fellowship. He says that ye also may have fellowship with us, with John, but with Christians in general, with our brethren here in the church, the other saved members of the church around the world. We are called to encourage one another, to lift up each other and just have that intimate fellowship one with the other. But he continues here and says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have fellowship not only with the church, with our brethren, but with God. Most importantly, our fellowship is with God. If we're not in fellowship with Him, our prayer life's hindered. He's not hearing what we have to say. He's not able to guide us through His Holy Spirit within us, because God cannot look upon sin. Sin being what separates us from God in fellowship. But he continues, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. See, God wants our joy to be full. John knew the importance here. He's writing to promote our joy. That your joy may be full. The word joy literally means to cram, to furnish, to supply liberally. How many of you have a junk drawer in your house? How many of you can't get it open? Or if you do, you're struggling to get it back shut. Yeah, we cram it in there. Sometimes something will fall out the back. We got to pull the drawers out and get behind it because it's fell over. Well, our joy is supposed to be running over. God's crammed it into us if we're in fellowship with Him, if we're living for Him. He crams the joy in us. It should be overflowing. And the people around us should see it. And keep that thought. The people around us should see our joy overflowing. When we have our joy, it's because we're in fellowship with God. We're in fellowship with the brethren. But skip down to chapter 2, verse number 1. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. So John's wanting to promote fellowship. He's wanting to promote joy. And now he's wanting to prevent sin. That ye sin not. John's telling us, you know, that sin's not worth it. These acts of sin that we're committing, don't do it. It's going to strip you of your fellowship. It's going to strip you of your joy because of that. Watch how these go together. That you sin not. But what if you do sin? He continues, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And I'll just continue. And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see, He wants to prevent sin, because if we don't confess our sin, we lose our fellowship. If we've lost our fellowship, our joy has been stripped away. And that's one of the privileges that we have of being a Christian, is our joy. But not only our joy. In chapter 2, verse number 12, he says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. He wants us to be able to proclaim forgiveness. And I hadn't forgot the rest of this verse, because I think it's the most important part of it all. He says, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. It's for Him. Now, excuse me. He wants us to be able to proclaim forgiveness. He wants us to be able to share our witness to this world around us that, hey, your sins can be forgiven. You can have this joy overflowing that you see overflowing from me. I'm happy to be a Christian. You can see it in me. I want others to want what I have. But more importantly, God wants others to have what I have. He wants to be able to use me in that way. So, if we're out of fellowship, He doesn't like us because He can't talk to us, to me. But He doesn't like it because I don't have the joy overflowing anymore. Now someone looks at me as a Christian and says, all right, well, there's nothing special about him. That's not what I want. That's not what God wants. We can proclaim forgiveness for His name's sake. Verse number 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. We said He wanted to promote fellowship, to promote joy, to prevent sin, to proclaim forgiveness, and now to protect the saints. You see, there's a world of false teachers out there that are itching to get after us. We've got the devil as a roaring lion. He's looking for a way to get into our hearts. He's looking for a way to devour us. We can't let him in. John's saying this book will tell you how to stay away from these false teachers. It'll show you what to look for. It'll show you how to have discernment. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, He'll convict our hearts. He'll give us that discernment we need while we're in fellowship with Him. And the last one in John 5:13, chapter 5, verse 13, I think maybe the most important one here. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He wants to provide us with assurance. And quickly, flip back to 2 Peter, chapter number 1. I'm going to start reading in the sake of time in verse number 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. These are what we call the building blocks of our faith. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Skip to verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. That's what happens if we stay in fellowship. If we keep our joy full, we're living for Him, we'll never fall. But if we don't, if we slip out of fellowship because of our sin, we're stopped. If we no longer have that joy. Look at verse number 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. We can't proclaim that forgiveness anymore because we don't even remember it. We're specifically talking even our salvation. We forget that we're saved. We allow Satan to get in our head and start questioning our salvation. Sin will cause a mess. Real quickly, I'm going to touch on one last point in Romans chapter 1. Paul gives us three things that we need to look at. And this is where we pull it back in to the mission. Paul gives us his admission here that he's a debtor. In verse number 14, he says, I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. See, Paul realized that Christ died for him, the chief of sinners, as he called himself. He knew who he was. He knew what Christ did for him. And he knew the Great Commission. He knew that he was in debt to Christ. He said to the Greeks, to the barbarians, to the wise, to the unwise. See, the Greeks were your educated group. They were the cultured, if you will, the wise. They were civilized. And barbarians, on the other hand, being the unwise, they were the ones who we would label pagan or even heathen today. See, Paul was looking at the whole world. But he continues, he says, so as much as is in me is, I am ready. He said, I'm a debtor. But we also see his remission here that he is ready. He's a debtor. He is ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Excuse me. He's ready to pay his debt. We look at Paul in the book of Acts and it amazes me. Through his missionary journeys and so forth, but he was going city to city. He was stoned, run out of cities. And even at least one occurrence, he was stoned, drug out of the city, thought for dead. I believe through the Lord, he was brought back, and what does he do but go right back into the same place he left from the people stoning him? He had a debt that he owed. He knew the Creator. He knew he was doing the work of Christ. And he says to preach, to proclaim, to teach. That's for every one of us, not just for a preacher behind the pulpit. We're all to proclaim the Word of Christ, the Gospel of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 1, or verse number 2, it says, "For I am a debtor, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You see, we go to these places and we start telling people about their sin, telling them how wrong they are. That's what happened to Paul. He was going and telling them, you know, you got to get rid of this in your life. You got to get rid of this and that. But what we're commanded to do is to preach the gospel. The gospel is what's going to change them. God's going to tell them they need to get rid of this and that. If we do, we're just going to make them mad. They're going to want to run off. They don't want to hear what we say. Paul learned that. He said, "I determined to know nothing among them but Christ and Him crucified." Verse number 16, Romans 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." See, Paul, he was not ashamed. He preached the gospel with boldness, with power, because he recognized that the power of God was the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's time that we admit who we are in Christ, that we are a debtor, that we have a debt that we need to pay back to Christ, and that's through the Great Commission. Whether it's going out yourself or whether it's your church sending one of these missionaries tonight, we're going to Montana. We can go on behalf of your church. Our sending church, Lighthouse Baptist Church in Welcome, North Carolina, it has sent us. It has deputized us as a sheriff would deputize his deputy, given us the authority to go out and plant another church. If you support us tonight, we will be going out on behalf of Tabernacle Baptist Church to reach the lost city of Butte, Montana. And that's why it's so important to have this deputation ministry. Because without it, we can't fulfill the Great Commission. We need missionaries coming in, sharing their burden, and going wherever it is that God's called them to go. Maybe there's somewhere that God's called you to go tonight. Brother.
Amen. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Let's be praying for them.